Satsang with Maitreya, November 24th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maitreya from the Mission of Maitreya. Welcome to our Satsang room. We are going to go over the greatest sign and the lesson of one hand. If you have ever gone to our website, you will see the first thing you will see is the animated yantra. That it evolves itself to the greatest sign, and if you click on that yantra, it takes you to the explanation what it means, and if you look at it, you can see immediately many religions that you might recognize, like Judaism and Christianity, and if you are a Muslim, probably you see and you recognize the sign of Islam. And if you are a Baha'i, or you know about Baha'ism, your Baha'i faith, you will see the nine stars of Baha'i teaching. And of course, most people know about the I Ching, and the Star of David, and cross, and the rest of the greatest sign are what added for the mission of Maitreya. And we will go through the meaning of all the those symbols. What does that mean? What have we brought? Some people come here and say, this is very similar to what I already have. It is something that, you know, it's already been there. And it is the same thing that Prophet Muhammad says in the Quran, that they come and tell him, this is an old story that you are repeating to us. And Prophet Muhammad was telling them, no, it's not. It is correcting the old stories, it's bringing a new revelation, it's bringing a new message to humanity. And now we know that he was right, he was bringing the message of the surrendering of submission. So Christ come and the Jewish people said, no, you are not the one that we expected to come, you are supposed to come this way. Or even among the groups in Judaism, they were not agreeing themselves how he should come and all that. And you see that they do not accept Christ, and the Christian Jews don't accept Muhammad, and Muslims don't accept Baha. Of course, it should have happened that way, because they were a part of the greater truth, and they should have stayed separately. So when we come, we know each of them has a different religions, and then as the Revelation says, when the seven seals come, when the seventh angel comes, he is going to reveal the whole mystery of God. And that is what the mission is stands for. It reveals the mystery of God and reveals what each of this religion meant. Why God sent all this religion, and some people say religion killed more people than any other reason. And really the answer really is not, it's not the religion that keeps the people, it's the dogma in the religions that create such a, you know, havoc. And it is being prophesied, these all religions going to come separately, and then when the seven angels come, they're going to all be put together. And that's exactly happened. And that is what God says he's going to do, and that's exactly it has been done. What is the implication of that? If that means God truly exists, and he is in control, and he says he will do this, and now we hear and we see, yes, he has done it, therefore we know God exists for sure, and we are here all to glorify God, and praise him, and love him with all our heart, mind, and spirit, so we can overcome any pitfall in their path. So why God wants to be praised? Why does God want to be glorified? Does he need him? Really, God needs to be glorified and praised? No, he does not. It is for us. That we, if we are focused on God, what are we saving ourselves from? We are saving ourselves from Maya, from the external world, from all the false teachings and prophets out there that takes us away from God, and you can see in every turn you turn there is a false prophet. even when you watch your television, it tells you the goal of the life is to buy this, to buy that, to become like this, to become like that. See, if you look at the religion, you see all, you know, teaching you the false thing, you know, and connect you to your guru or your status or religions or race or gender or this and that. It's just all pitfalls that you have to overcome, and you have to look and say, no, I do not want to be, you know, attracted to these things, but I want only God. That's what he wants. He demands to be praised and glorified in our hearts so we can overcome this attraction that external world presents, and with our two eyes we see, we desire, we follow, and we fall. So, you can see that all this thing has come to humanity to this point, for this revelation that now has come to man. What does this revelation say? It says that the whole picture now is given to humanity. Now, if you look at the greatest sign, you see it starts from the very dot, which is the beginning of the creation. Before that, of course, God was in the state of beingness. He was in absolute state of being here now, and there was no past, no present, no future, but he just was. But because some desire appeared in the universal mind, the balance between the forces was restored, and the first sign of creation, which scientists call Big Bang, occurs, and that God really means the Big Bang, the beginning of the creation. And I see that then I see swirls around, and it spans the pustika, which means the forces completely go out of hand, and the whole universe become out of balance, and that is why the Bible says, you know, the darkness was upon the deep. Well, God looked and said, it's in a chaotic situation, therefore he sent his spirit to that darkness, and that the spirit went through a path. He went, and because he was the spirit of God, he just started meditating on the situation. And I look at this darkness and see what is it that makes this darkness go to the imbalance and bring such a chaotic situation into the calm and beautiful universe that was before. And he realizes that, you know, more and more they have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten they have come from the source. They have come from God. They start meditating and awakening the spiritual forces. And he meditated, and he vocabulated the future forces, and start, you know, helping few beings around himself, and they start meditating, awakening the spiritual forces, and then they realize, okay, now I know myself better. I have an essence. I have belonged to something. There is a God. I am a part of it, and God is everything. So I am a part of that God, and they start, you know, practicing for going back home. And while they were doing it, they realized anytime they are together, they are in a good environment, they progress, they become one with God much better than before. But whenever they go away from that environment and go to an environment that the people or the beings are not godly, or his darkness is too thick, they forget about God and they fall and they, you know, they're not connected anymore. So the next realization was, wow, a real good environment is necessary. And that's one, when they start creating a better environment and came together, and they start helping each other. In helping each other, they start sacrificing. And when they start sacrificing, they realize when they are sacrificing and not thinking about themselves all the time, they even feel better and more connected. And but they still were attached to the result of their action. They said, oh, I'm the doer, I'm the person who's doing all this sacrifice, good thing, and helping other people, and they get attached to the result, and they again fail, and then realize that they shouldn't be attached to the result of their action, but they should do the action and say, the result is God, God. Even greater realization can, well, actually, if I am, everything is God, and I am a part of God, who is the doer anyway? God is the doer through me, and therefore they learn to do, to go through doing things, but realizing really it's God doing through them. And with that, of course, they and God became one, because what is the goal of the spirituality? To become one with God. And when you let God think through you, you and He will become one. And of course, God is perfect, therefore what you do, He will be also perfect. If you let God come through, and you think you let God come through, but you think is not perfect, you are not letting God come through completely. Because He is perfect, therefore He does the perfect job. Of course, this group became very attached to each other, and they said, well, we are better than these beings that are in darkness, and they don't have no idea, you know, what the path is that they have to follow. They separate themselves from the rest. And so the realization comes to them, and well, how can we say they are in the darkness, we are in the light, when we say God is everything? If God is everything, those who are in the dark also have a spark of God in them. Therefore, it is our responsibility also to help them to see the light, which is in darkness. Although they are in darkness, but the light shines in it. Therefore, they realize they have to help even the darkness, and they become universalists. They realize their home is universal. Father and mother is God's, and they are completely free of any narrowness of the mind, therefore they have to help everybody around them, and they become universalists. With this, by the step, at the end of the spiritual forces step, dieting to the courage of the communities of life, the energy, sacrificing for the community, becoming a surrender and submit to the will of God, and becoming universalists, by the step that we call eternal divine path. That's all. That's really our teaching. That's it. You know, if you want to be in the mission of my spirit, that's all I have to know. Have a spiritual process, priority to the creation of the promise of life, sacrifice for it, sacrifice in not being self-centered, but being coming to the center. So you know, submit to God and know what His will for you and follow it. Don't resist it, don't fight with it. If then you realize what God's will is for you, say, yes, God, I am here for you, but what's the next step? And that is what the surrendering and submission means, and you become universalist. Shatter all norms of the mind, of mind, thine, you know, gender, nationality, you know, even don't belong to earth, belong to the whole universe. And then you will see everybody as your brother and sister, and they have a spark of God and light in them, and you will help them to realize it and progress. If you do that, if you really, really follow the eternal divine path, that first five step, you become an elect. Elect is the one that God has been talking about them in all the scriptures. Elect all the people are the children of God. They are the children of life. They are the real Israelites. They are the people God has chosen as His people from the foundation of the world and added to it as the time has gone through. So many of them have progressed before the creation. So the sixth sign or seal is the seal of the elect. And these elect are the people who are the dynamic spiritual beings. They will join the mission of Maitreya. They will gather together. They will create a facilitating body in the mission of Maitreya and eventually reach to humanity and create the communities of life. And the kingdom of heaven on earth is based on the communities of life. Being in the community or having a community doesn't mean it is a community of life. Community of life is the community which follow the eternal divine path. If a community is not following the eternal divine path, it is not a community of life. And if you are in a community and you are not following an eternal divine path, you are not divine, you are not an elect. So we can see, so the teaching is not dogmatic. There is no dogma here. It is just a path. Either you follow it or you don't. If you follow it, you will see benefit. Your community will see the benefit. Your city will see the benefit. The nation you are in will see benefit. And eventually the whole earth will benefit from this community of life and will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now you might ask, you know, what that has to do with the unification of our religions, you know? we can see that God decided to, it was very hard to help these unit consciousnesses in the unmanifested world. Therefore, He decided to create a more systematic evolutionary process to help these unit consciousnesses to reach higher consciousness and eventually the goal, the pure consciousness, oneness with God, nirvana, whatever you want to call them. The goal is to go back to the state of Venus. And then He created creation, and He already knew about the eternal divine path because He just went through it in the darkness, and He created the universe in such a way that it's very attractive to the lost soul, and they take this creation as a reality, as a truth. But in reality, there is a greater truth in the spirit that they, the most of the people with two eyes don't see it unless their third eye is open. So he creates the creation. In the beginning, of course, you know, man was both male and female, and then he separates them to man and woman, and they have a more psychic and ethereal body in the beginning. Then he put the coat of the skin on them, and man become grosser and grosser until in the time of the Nova, he even closes the third eye, and he gives them two eyes of external world, so that man doesn't have any much of a spiritual understanding or power, or because they misused it before the flood of Noah. And then he started giving this path one by one. No one knew about the path, the eternal divine path, and he passed it to his children, and he taught them meditation and making up the spiritual courses, which eventually came, those original teaching came to man as the mystical path. And you can find the mystical path in every religion and every culture. But the older religions, they know it, they see the spirit in tree, they see a spirit in water, they see a spirit in everything. So if they see God in everything. And of course, they all believe there is a bigger God, that some people call it God, some people call it Jehovah, some people call it the great spirit, some call it, you know, many different names, but there is a big guy, and then there's the other spirit in everything. So this, and also they teach to meditate, awaken our spiritual forces, know thyself, to know God, be a seed that know that I am God, and everything that directly toward awakening our spiritual forces all fall into the first seal or the mystical path. But all this mystical path tissue, that is the goal of life. Meditate and become God, and don't worry about anybody else. And God says, no, that's not the truth. You have to create the community of life. You have to direct your energy to create the community and bring like-minded people together and create an environment that is conducive to your spiritual progress. Therefore, the second step we can see in the Old Testament, if you read the whole Old Testament, God is trying to find a people that they will accept God as their king or and follow His rule, and they bring God as their savior. So we can see that in the Old Testament, it's really talking about the communities of life. So we can see in the eternal divine path, the first seal covers Buddhism, Hinduism, all the mystical path, Kabbalah, mystical Christian, Sufism, and every other mystical path on earth. The second, called the Old Testament, it was trying to create the communities of life, and therefore it brings the Hebrews teaching into our teaching. Then, of course, sacrifice. What did Christ do? Christ goes all the way to the cross for this idea. Of course, you don't have to go to the cross, but if you have to, you have no choice, probably, you know, you will say, I am ready for, you know, giving everything for the ideal that somebody wants to have, but I don't think it's needed to be done. That's why God created this country. You have the freedom of expression, and so you can, by teaching and bringing more people to realize our path is a path, and universal religion, eventually a lot of people here and many people all over the world will join us and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth very peacefully and nicely by education and evolutionary way. We are not a revolutionary people, we are evolutionary people. This is the evolutionary step that humanity has to take. So, sacrifice means not to be self-centered in the community. So when you are not self-centered, you give up yourself to the community, and the community prospers, and you prosper with the community, and it's a two-way street. You give to the community, community gives it to you, and eventually you both progress together. Okay? You sacrifice a lot, nothing happens, you become depressed, because I say, I have done so many things, I gave this satsang or this teaching probably 10,000 times for the last 20 years, you know, and then why is nothing happening? You get depressed. Or you just start happening. You say, whoa, look at me. Such a wonderful person I am, giving all this thing and all this thing happening and people coming and all that. Both of them means you are attached to the result of your action. It means you think you are the doer, and therefore you are attached to the result, and that's what either you get depressed or you get egoistical. The next step is you surrender the result to the God and say, okay, God, thank you. It was great revelation you gave me. I gave it to the people. It's not my, the result is not mine, it's yours. I leave them to you. You know, I'm free. I'm going to give it and go away. And whatever happens, just as Christ said, you know, he throws the seed and some of them fall on the stone and fall in the road and some of them fall in the right, nice, good ground and they give fruit. Okay? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those who give fruit. The people who receive the seed and say, yes, it makes sense to me. God is one. How can you send all these religions? You know, how can there be so much separation between humanity and all that, you know? Of course, my claim is not just based on a good thinker, but based on all the prophecies and expectations that humanity has for this to come. So it is all around is the airtight mission that this comes to humanity, that if you really understand it and realizing it and see it and read about it and investigate it, you have no choice. You have even the slightest light and the spirit of the God in you, and you are a real seeker, you have no choice but to say, yes, that's it. I have no choice. So the next step was meant to turn the result of your action to God. And even better than that is to realize that God is doing it through it. You are in the comings of light, you meditate, you have ignited with your forces, you go to the comings of light, you carry the comings of light, you sacrifice for it, you surrender the result to God, or you say, God is doing this through me. I'm sweeping the floor. God is sweeping the floor. I'm giving satsang. God is giving satsang. I'm in the path talk, you know, telling people about the mission of my career. God is doing it through me to the mission of my, to the world. So you absolutely become detached from the result, because if you are not the doer, how can you be attached to the result of action? You can't. You can't, because you didn't do anything. God did it through it. So you also, you know, overcome being attached to the result and becoming boastful or depressed. And the next step, of course, the surrendering and submission is the very meaning of the Islam. Islam means surrendering and submission to God. So we unify all the mystical paths, Judaism or Hebrews, Christianity and Islam together in this fourth step. The next step is, you know, still you might become attached to the one small part of the universe, your religion, your people. You know, anybody who is not in my religion is not good, or one part of the whole universe, or even Earth. But the next step is to become a universalist. Know that you are a child of God, the universe is your home, God is your father and mother, and you are here to become a parabhikra or an elect, and help to create the communities of light and the kingdom of heaven on earth, and therefore you do not belong to any narrowness of the mind. You shatter every narrowness of the mind of belongingness to any small group or a small place or gender or race or anything. So you are the child of God, and shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and that is the message of the Baha'i teaching. Baha'i teaching teaches the universal point of view, and bring the expansion of mind. So with this five step, you will become an elect, which is the sixth field, and that is what God was talking about, the elect in His revelations to humanity, and this elect are the people who will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is the seventh seal, and as you see, when the seed forms at the seventh seal and the center seal, which is the representation of God, become in each other's image. Of course, the bottom seal is smaller than the center seal, because God is the only being which is really the creator. We are in His image, but we are not God with the big G, we are God. Even when you reach the seventh seal, you are God with a small g, and the only God with a big G is the center of the greatest sign, but you will become in His image, and that is the goal of life, become perfect as the Father. This is our teaching, that is the base of what we teach here. Now the floor is open, raise your hand, and if you have any question, any part of the teaching, you didn't understand any part of it, or you have something you want to add, or anything, go ahead. Go ahead, the spirit in the wind.
Thank you. I have one question. My pastor for Christian or the universalist, but I can't do a Wiccan really, and I was wondering, you say one
Wicca,
putting all the traditions being one. Are you saying that you are doing away with all the other paths to incorporate a universal faith, or are you actually bringing in all the faiths and honoring each one of them as another way to God? You're not like trying to have a melting pot and creating a whole new group. I mean, am I misunderstanding this?
Well, if you are a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Vikan, even, okay, then you came from a background that you have those things, and then you read about Muslim Vikans, okay? You read about Quran and Judaism and Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity, and eventually realize that the goal of life is to become divine, not to use the energy of the universe for your own, you know, gain and power, then you will eventually say, okay, I will meditate. Still, you know, we can meditate, and they try to awaken the forces. They come to the energies of the universe, you know, and all that. And then, of course, you know, use that for, you know, personal thing. But if you reach that and you say, God says that you use the power, use energy, those things that are given to you for helping other people, instead of, you know, just saying it, what is it for me, then you will no longer can stay in that one narrow point of the view of whatever religion or background you come from. You have no choice to accept other religion, other people, and other teachings, and say, okay, yeah, I'm expanded. And you will stay the same person when you are expanded. You know, it's just like we have a saying here that there was five blind men. Most of the people know their story. Each of them hold a part of the elephant, and they cried, I know what elephant looks like. And the one who had the ear and said, well, elephant looked like a leaf. Okay? And he was adamant. He was absolutely sure that is what the elephant looks like. Other one, you know, cut the trunk and said, no, it looks like a hose. You are absolutely wrong, you know. And the one who had the trunk, he was absolutely right. He was right. And, of course, they were all blind, so they couldn't, you know, see what they were talking about. And the one, he cut the pus, he said, no, we're all gone. It's really smooth and nice, and you know, it really feels very good and beautiful. And the other one had the leg and said, no, it's a cylindric and a very different, absolutely different than what you say. And the one another one had the tail and said, no, it's like a snake. Which one was that? Mr. East said, we are right. And then man with the eye came and said, look, you all are right. But the elephant is more than that. It's greater. It has a body, it has a trunk, it has eye, it has head, it has back, it has legs. All of you having a part of it. Now, after they know that, would they believe what they used to believe before, that the elephant is a horse or a leaf or a snake? No. They see the elephant and say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, you were wrong. Okay. It's not look anything that we thought it is. It's something different. So this teaching is brought the whole elephant to humanity. Can they still stay in their, you know, ways and say, no, you know, we are right, but we are a part of this? We can't. So we can say, we don't insist you to change. You know, we're not going to push you to change. You're not going to put a sword on your head and say, yeah, you have to accept this. If you have to research, search, understand, read, go to our website, read, understand what we're talking about, discuss just what we're talking about, then at the end you will say, okay, yes, what I know is correct. It's not a part of what you teach, but what you teach is much more expanded, therefore I can say what I want. I'm not here to change it. It's you who's going to change yourself. Go ahead, yes.
Thank you, Maitreya. I have two questions. First one is, suppose I experience the truth, or suppose I experience the God, what is next? And the next question is, why God did not choose me to search His messages? What are the extra qualifications you have other than other human beings? Thank you.
Okay, well, if you have experienced God, then the next step is to create the communist of life. You see, that is the whole idea of awakening the spiritual forces or the mystical path. In the mystical path, a lot of people thought that is the end of the journey. You meditate, you have awakened spiritual forces, you become like a drop of the water, you fall into the ocean, this is God. Or your goal is to become Nirvana, and therefore you meditate and eventually you understand the teaching of Buddha and you reach Nirvana. But even Buddha himself, you know, he taught Sangha and Dharma. Sangha means community, Dharma means, you know, innate nature of this person in the community. Therefore we can see that even he taught the communist of life, of course he didn't teach the eternal one path. So after you realize God, if you really, really have seen God and felt Him and became one with Him and realize Him, therefore your next step is to direct that energy to create the community of life wherever you are and whoever is around you, and bring them to the eternal divine path, teach them the eternal divine path, and bring them together, come together and create community based on the eternal divine path. The next step after trying to create community of life is to sacrifice for that community, and after you sacrifice, surrender and submit to God, surrender the result to God, and whatever you do, and realize that God is doing through you, you are just an instrument in His hand, you feel like a clay. Let Him form you to whatever He wants you to form into, and then if you're not clay, you might, you know, when He's trying to change you to something that He wants to, you might break because you're not soft enough or flexible enough to change you to whatever needs to be done to you. So, after your surrendering and submission to God, become a universalist. Expand your mind to include everyone. See the light in every individual and person, and create an environment that no child will be suffering, no man will be killed, no destruction will come, and eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, that every individual have their physiological and safety needs taken care of, and education and health care is provided to them, and the rest takes after meditation and awakening the visual forces. So the goal of the life is to become divine. And everybody has that right to become divine. And therefore, you know, realizing God, you should be able to follow eternal divine path with no problem whatsoever. Easily you should be able to join a community. Easily you should be able to sacrifice for the community. Easily you should be able to surrender and submit to God, and easily you should become a universalist. Then you are an elect. Then you come and join the mission of Maitreya and put your effort in a systematic and collective way to everybody, with everybody else, and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is what you should do, and it should be very easy for you because you have seen God already, and it's very, very simple thing if you have seen God. Because that is what God is and wants to be done. Now, why God gave this to me and He did not give it to you? Then He has to give it to someone first. Okay? He can't give it to everybody, because not everybody probably listening to Him. It's just like God is like a radio station. Okay? Your radio has to be in the same station that He is broadcasting. And also, of course, there is more to it. You know, He usually chooses a person doing that, a body, and He prophesies of coming of such a body to bring this teaching. This time He chooses this body to come to earth and bring this message to humanity. The body is not important. It is an ego. If He feel why He didn't come to me and came to another person, if you really realize God is one, He doesn't matter who brought it, what is the message for me, and how I can, you know, hear the message and follow it and become one with it, and therefore, you know, you are completely see the truth and then submit to it and become one with it. So the most important is the prophecies that upcoming of such a person, he fulfilled that prophecies. Many people were born in Iran, many people were born in Tehran, but they did not come to the West to receive a message from God. They did not, you know, change exactly at the same period at the time that God said such a person come in all religions of the world. They did not fulfill the prophecy. Of course, recently we have been informed that my genealogy goes to the King David and Adam and all that, and they have pretty much verified that's true, and that is also an expectation that Jews and Christian and Muslim are waiting for. So you can see that a person who comes to become a revealer of a revelation of God will be prophesied, especially this one. This is the last revelation and fulfills all the prophecies and it is the whole picture and the whole elephant, the whole mystery of God. Therefore, many, many more prophecies and expectation is fulfilled. These are to make humanity realize that my being here is not to glorify me, it is to glorify God. My very being here glorifies God. And that is what you have to be doing, not being unhappy why God didn't choose me instead of choose someone else. But what did God say through this person that fulfilled all his prophecies and brought this message to humanity? Then you will surrender and submit to it, and you say, yes, okay, I have some experiences. A lot of people have a lot of experiences. Actually, even in the United States, there are around 20% of the people have had some spiritual experience, but 80% of them, they don't have nothing to do with it. Okay, because you know, if they give in and say, yes, it was from God, it means they have to change their life. They have to change and become something else that most human doesn't want. But ego doesn't want to, you know, give up, you know, the things that we think that is the real life here. So having experience with God is not a unique thing. It many people have had experience, they have had, you know, felt the sweets of God in them, and but now God is telling everybody, if your next step is to start following the family God path. And so, again, go to the left side, read, and if you accept it, you see, yeah, God really chose this vessel to bring you this message, then this is God is telling you what He wants to be done. Okay. This is God is coming through this vessel. You know, as far as me and the Father are one, then I give this action. God is telling you this is what He wants you to do. If anything else, anybody else, any other religion, any other idea is not completely from God. Because they, God says, before the seven angels come, it's a mystery. So everybody out there still has a mystery in their hand. The people who don't have a mystery anymore is here. We are the only people who don't have any mystery anymore. It is resolved, it is solved, it is revealed. And if you want to know, it is in our website, it is free. You don't have to pay a penny to go and read it and understand it, the teaching. And but if we have to print it and send it to you, of course we charge for it. Okay, but the teaching is free, the sacrament is free, my disciples, all those people who work with the mission, they are going to give it free. They're not going to charge you a penny. But if you see this vessel is the one God said is going to bring the teaching, then accept it and learn about the teaching. Go ahead, Mehrabi. Let him type this question. I believe was, why did God create creators?
Why did God create?
Why did God create? All right, very good question. Okay. if you remember, I was talking about in the beginning, everything was in Venus, in a sense of complete bliss and oneness and unity, and God was completely in the state of awareness. Just like being in a healthy body, and suddenly your body becomes diseased, or you find you have a disease in your body, or a defect in your body, what would you do? The first thing you think is, you know, I should go to a doctor. I should go and get some medicine. Find a person who knows about how to heal me, how to get rid of this sickness. And that's exactly what God felt. His body, in the beginning, he was in a state of oneness and unity and bliss, and suddenly it went out of the balance and it started to going away from God, the darkness and unit consciousnesses were created. Each unit consciousness said, I am separated from this unit consciousness and I have to just to protect my own interests and one ego and all that. So it created a lot of chaos and darkness came to the world. And if you read the Bible, the very first verses in the Bible says that and the darkness was upon the deep, so the darkness came to the universe. So, what God should do? God wants to bring back the body, the diseased part of the body, back to its balance, to it used to be. That is why He came to the darkness, He sent His spirit to the darkness to realize what is happening to this darkness, why this darkness even separated itself from the main body, which was in such a beautiful state, while even they considered themselves, you know, separate from the rest of the body. Therefore, the Spirit of God comes through that darkness, and it goes through the eternal divine path, and realizes that the reason that darkness, that part that was separated from the main part, is because they became self-centered. The desire arose in the mind of God, and the desire is what makes people go toward what the desires demand. And after you go toward the demand of your desire, you have to go to the world to fulfill the desire. And going to the world to fulfill the desire, the Maya or the attaching of the world will suck you into itself, and you fall into the attraction of the world, and you will be going away and more egoistic on self-centered and more darkness. So we realize that, you know, in order to go away from the darkness is to go within. You know, you, and that is what the meditation and the awakening of your spiritual forces come from. You go within yourself and you little by little realize who you are, what you are, why you are here, what is the goal of life, and you feel connected, you will have experiences in your meditation, and eventually you say, oh, okay, I'm here for a reason, for a purpose. Okay? And after you have taken the spiritual courses, you realize that you have to pay good environment or the promise of life, then you realize you have to sacrifice, and then you realize you have to join the submit to God, and, or your purpose, and then you become universalist, and you become an elect, and eventually you return to God, and that's why God said, and there was light. God said, wow, that is the path to bring this dark part of the universe back to my body. Return them to me. Return them to their health. And my body is sick. This world is sickness in the body of God. God wants to heal it. And that's why he sent the messenger. He and sent the Adam. Adam was the first messenger of God. Came to man in the unmanifested world. That even the creation wasn't created even then. And then, of course, he realized, you know, that it's very hard to help the unit consciousness in that state of darkness, so he created the universe, and the universe is a state of evolutionary process to return to God. Evolution is correct. You know, we are not against evolution, we are not against science. Evolution is correct, but what is the end of evolution? What is the reason for evolution? Why evolution created? Or was it just by chance? You see, the difference between our evolution and scientific evolution is not by chance. There is a logic behind evolution, and the logic is you eventually will return to God. That is what evolution has been created. So you evolve to a greater, higher consciousness of the mineral. Mineral have no sensitivity. Plants that it has sensitivity, they can use, they can become a living, you know, organism. Then animal, they are even more sensitive, they can move, they can live. Human can even realize God, you know, even become a God with a small g. So we can see the evolution process is there, but where are we going? We are evolving to what? We are evolving to pure consciousness, to reach God, to return home, to heal the sick body that has created the universe. So the goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is to return to God. The goal of the life is to go back to where it was. But in order to do that, okay, you cannot do it individually. You have to do it collectively. That is why this teaching talks about the promise of life. It doesn't say, you will reach liberation by yourself. Actually, God says you can't. He said, I will screw you out of my mouth. You know, if you want to do it individually by yourself, I will screw you out of my mouth. Okay, so the goal of life is to reach pure consciousness and help the rest of the universe also to reach pure consciousness. If we can give this teaching to humanity, then humanity realizes there are one. There is one God, one humanity, one earth. We have to create an environment that every individual, person, being, if we don't, we will create karma, we will create that. See, and this crazy thing that is happening on earth is going to go on and on. You know, killing, destruction, you know, different opinion, ideas, you know, culture. You know, there's only one culture, and that's culture of God. And if humanity all follow that, then we are one. So we can see that, you know, there's God's way, and God's vision, and God's creation for us, and the goal of, we are here to return to God. We are here to create the promise of life. We are here to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we accelerate the evolution of man to go back to God and his body and become one. Go ahead, yes.
Thank you for answering my previous two questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you. My next question is, if you are absolutely sure that you receive the messages from God, why you are calling it as mission of Maitreya instead of mission of God?
That's a good question, you know, because there is a lot of people out there that are having the mission of God already. And also, Maitreya has been prophesied to come, and after I received the name Maitreya, I started receiving the revelation, and my life changed, and God showed me, you know, what it should be done, and reach to humanity, and my name is Maitreya, and it is my mission to bring it to humanity. God is doing through me, and also Maitreya is expected by Buddhists to come, and that is that. I could have called it the mission of Muhammad or mission of Joseph, you know, we can call them too, but the word doesn't really matter, you know, what the mission is called. The most important is what is the message. You know, we let's not to be nitpicking and thinking about, you know, little thing and bring negativity and being become the false one there. Let's see what the message is. Does the message make sense? Is it from God? Does it unify humanity? All the religion together? Does it fulfill the prophecy? Okay, you can call it whatever you want. I don't care. Okay? But as well as you can get the message, I'm happy with it. So it doesn't make any difference what you can call it. But the reason is what the definition of Maitreya, because, you know, it came through Maitreya. It came after Maitreya received his name as being Maitreya. He started receiving this revelation. And this is just a recognition of the organization from other organizations. The most important thing is God and his revelation and the fulfillment of the prophecies and the message. If you can get that one, you don't have too much struggle to go through with each other and spend time, you know, explaining what's this name and not what's that name. So I think, you know, but again, I suggest you read our teaching again and start understanding what is the message instead of being, you know, negative about these little small things. Go ahead, yes.
Thank you. The reason I told you this one is, if you see the inner region, you know, the people started worshipping the order, you know. In India, people are worshipping Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people are worshipping Jesus. Mm-hmm. So people are worshipping, you know, it's fulfilled that at one point of time, people start worshipping you, the name.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read a book, a normal book, we want to worship the order. First thing, like seriously. Like Hindu, or Christian, or Muslim, or Buddhist. People are worshipping the order, and that is the main danger. Mm-hmm. And people start fighting power. Right? That's why I'm asking. Why do we have to create one more, you know, order to worship? If you say it is not God, it will be clean.
Yeah, well, I can see your point. That's a very good point. I'm very concerned about that point myself. That's why it has been emphasized over and over that you should not get attached to my body, it's not attached to my, you know, name and all that. But you have to worship formless, nameless, invisible, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. This is called fine, because this body is going to leave me. Actually, you should worship the spirit behind Krishna, which is the same as the spirit behind Christ. It's the same spirit behind Shiva and all that. So the thing is, human have two eyes. They see the body, they see the physical thing, and they come attached to it. Actually, you know, in the mission of Maitreya, we teach that you should go to God directly yourself, and you should not become attached to any physical form. That's why, if you know our reminder, it says, is submitted only to you, which is formless, nameless, and invisible. That is the only being that you surrender to. This is formless, nameless, and invisible. Even name can create separation. You know, my God is called Jehovah or Yahweh. Yours is called Jesus. The other one called Isa. another one called, you know, Yeshua, somebody called Krishna or Buddha or this and that. And not only that, so we are even against worshipping the teachers or even being attached to any teacher. We do not believe in any statue or any form, any name, anything which relates to your senses will bring separation between man and man. Will this happen to this mission? I have done all my, I can not to happen. It is possible. I'm not saying it's impossible. Maybe in 200 years, if you say just believe in the name of my child, you're going to be saved. Of course, it can happen, you know, because it is the mission of Maitreya, therefore, you know, it becomes a personality cult. It is not a cult. It is not a personality cult. It is up to you. Go study, research, understand, teaching the message, and then at the end say, yes, God did it. God brought all this religion, and Maitreya brought the last mystery of God and revealed to God. And because it is the last revelation, it is that revealer of the mystery of God and all the mystery are finished. We are hoping that this will not happen and more humanity will be in a higher consciousness and our golden age is coming, and in golden age people will only glorify and worship God, and they will forget about the animals, statues, names, teachers, gurus, father or rabbi, actually a lot of people out there is going to be against me because I'm disqualifying from, completely bringing their followers under their thumb and fight between, the different teachers that they want to keep their followers under their own little, group. And that is what another source of separation. So, if you understand our teaching and really follow it, you will see that you don't need any of them. You are free to go to God. You are free to go to our website. You are free to meditate. But we have a system. We have a system here that we are trying to create, that in that system, you will have an organization, and, and our teaching is eventually the head of that organization, is the person is always connected to God. And if the organization is not the head of the organization or the head of the nation or the head of the, any place, anything is not connected to God, those people will fall. It has happened in the history. We have seen this happen over and over. Therefore, we need a person that is connected to God to be head of the organization. And in that sense, of course, you can say that I'm a little different here. So, but if you're connected to my body, that's a wrong thing to do. You believe in my name, you will go to heaven. You will not. You have to have your preferences and follow eternally born path. So everything is being done to destroy this. But will it happen? Only God knows. I hope not. Go ahead, Brad.
Hello, everybody. I have a question on karma. We create karmas in our past lifetimes. And these actions then affect this lifetime. And I was wondering how the karmas of the past lifetime find me in this lifetime.
Okay. Of course, if you remember, the law of karma has been explained differently in the Nietzsche and Maitreya. The karma is created, you learn your lesson. It is a kind of a, setup that as far as you haven't learned that lesson, that karma will stay with you. But if you learn your lesson and you meditate and you say, that's my problem. I'm not able to discern the subject to God. I'm not really sacrificing. I'm really too self-centered, to accept, what God has called me for, to do what I'm supposed to do, and all that. And if you learn the lesson, the karma is going to be lifted. You have no karma anymore, and you're one more step closer to become, one with God. But at the time of death, of course, when you leave your body, you have created karma, and this karma, as Prophet Muhammad explained, is looking like a necklace around your neck, which tells you exactly what you did in your life. So it is a record in the Akashic record that is you stay in that account, you record, and it's just like, you having a file in the in the army or in a university you went in, and if they want to know what you did in the university, they pick it up and say, so you get all A's, great, you're a good student, and they send it to other system to know who you are. So in Akashic record, they are recorded, but at the time of the death, you know, you become a soul, you become completely free of your karma. But at the time of the rebirth, the moment you are rebirthing, that file will be taken out and look at and say, okay, this is the person having, or, you know, having this karma and this problem. Where can we put him? That he will learn his lesson better in next life. And then you will be born in a situation that you will learn lesson much faster and easier, hopefully. If you learn your lesson, those karma are going to be taken away. Your life going to be easier. You will be freer, and you will be in higher consciousness. You will have a little karma. Okay, left. Of course, if you have no karma at all, you will not be in the body. You're going to be in a pure consciousness. But still, you will be sent back to help others, and God will give you a little karma. Just keep you in the body. So you come back here, you have a little karma, but you don't have too much of it. And so the moment of the birth, you will, not in the moment of birth, but when it's decided to send you back, in that time, it will be decided what is the best way for you to learn from the lesson you did not learn in the previous lifetime. And then you will be put in that situation. That is for the regular people. Of course, there are people, they have mission to do. They are very high in consciousness, they are very high souls, and they will be put in a way to help the creation of the comings of light and the kingdom of heaven on earth. Their karma is mostly realize who they are, why they are here, and accept their mission and follow it. And they're not here to really learn much of a lesson, but actually teach lesson to other people and guide them to higher things. So it is not a black and white thing that a lot of people think, that the law of karma is black and white. You know, you do a thing, you get the karma and samskaras, and that's it. You have to pay all of them that you have no escape from. It is just being created for us to learn our lessons. When we learn our lessons, we don't have them anymore, and they are not forever, and they are used to decide where we are going to be reborn. And there are people, they don't have karma, or they have very little, and they come here for a special purpose. Let out everybody, so if anybody wants to grab the mic, they can go ahead and do that. Okay, now that's going to work. If you have any questions, just go ahead and grab the mic and let us know.
Where do you think that where God comes from, and how he comes to be?
Well, I'd like an explanation that the Hindu religion has about that, and God says, you know, that even God might not know where he came from himself. it's just like, that question is the same question as, explain God to me. It's not explainable, it's unexplainable. You know, but if you explain as God, you know that he's been here forever. There is no beginning for him. God has been here forever, and he will be here forever. That is a concept very, very hard for human to understand. Okay. Actually, when I was a child, I remember to think, okay, the universe finishes somewhere. So when it finishes, when is that finishes? Maybe there's a wall or something there? Where is that wall finishes? What's behind that wall? Is another universe? Okay, that should finish too. And where that goes to another world, and that is, see, infinity is something beyond intellect. Human cannot understand infinity. He cannot explain what infinity is. Same thing as God. What is God? Can I explain it to you? No, I can teach you and show you the way to reach him, but when you experience it, this question seems so silly to you, and say, why even I thought about it? It's impossible, you know, even think, because there is no mind in God. When there is no mind, there's absolute oneness and unity. Therefore, it doesn't think, really. It just is. And when something is, it becomes anything it wants, but at the same time, you know, it's not, can you explain what ease is? No, you can't explain ease. It's just an experience you have to recognize. That's why we recommend to meditate, to chant, to dance, to pray, and all that. So you eventually, when you're singing and chanting Hare Krishna one day, suddenly you see, whoa, I'm going somewhere. And you say, oh, that's what they meant, you know, infinity. Okay, now I should explain it to everybody what it means. And then you come to start explaining, and everybody look at you and say, well, yeah, their mouth open, you know, it's impossible to explain. So where did God come from? Where was the beginning? You have to experience God, then you would not even ask that question, because it is not explainable. What is God? How many people try to explain God for the last 2,000 years? How many books has been written? How many wars were fought over God? You know? And then at the end everybody says, well, they don't know. So it is not explainable. God is not explainable, but it's experience. So when you experience it, then you see that, oh, okay, that's what if it was easy to explain God, we wouldn't have any problem, wouldn't we? We have all this division and separation and destruction. Okay, somebody would come and explain it, everybody says, oh yeah, okay, I got it. Now we are all one and everyone knew what God is, and that's it. That's the end of it. So it is something you have to experience it, something that you will, when you explain it and you say, okay, I have no questions. Thank you. My questions are answered. So mind asks these questions, but you have to experience God. That's why we don't claim we teach you God here. We can show you a path that you will experience God yourself. Okay, go ahead,
God. I would say that it does explain it a little more understandably. I asked a question in John's time in DM, but isn't that teaching of the mission of Maitreya expose or reveal God in our midst, and you are, God in person? Not that I, you know, believe that, but isn't that the mission of Maitreya?
Yes, it is the mission of Maitreya. That's why we teach you to meditate, to go inside. And that is the mystery that many religions have forgotten, to meditate and be still and know God. That's another mystery that has been revealed to humanity. They are at each other's throat, killing one another and all that, because they don't close their eyes and say, yeah, there is God. And within me, so it is within me, it's between a Muslim and a Jew and a Buddhist and a Hindu and all that, therefore we are one and we all have to meditate and close our eyes. So that is the path to knowing God. But if I explain it to you, but I can explain to you, God is infinite, formless, nameless, invisible, eternal, never been born, never been, you know, created. He creates without being created. He is, you know, incredible. He is something beyond mind. You have to experience it. Did you understand what God is? It doesn't make any difference to you, does it? All these are words. And this you experience. That's take a book. Take any book. They explain God to you. And probably you have read already many books about what God is. Did it help you? No. That is the mystery. I'm revealing to you. It's not going to help you. Reading those books may guide you, but it's not going to help you to realize God. And that's what the mission of Maitreya is telling you. This is the mystery of God. The mystery is the words cannot explain God. I can explain it because, you know, I can say, okay, I can claim I have experienced it, therefore God exists. Would that help you? No, it won't. That's why I'm telling you that you have to explain yourself, and the way is the eternal divine path and the creation of the communities of life. And in that community, you have more time to meditate and awaken your spiritual forces, and eventually experience God and then come to the conclusion that, yeah, God is infinite, God is everlasting, never was born, ever present. All those deep, great explanation that has already been done, and then everybody look at it, what? What are you talking about? But they have not experienced it themselves. Okay? That is why intellectualizing God is not going to help anyone, and that is what the world has been doing to this point. They're intellectualizing God. They're trying to explain it. You can't. He's beyond your mind. How can you explain the theory of, you know, evolution or to a fish? You're just going to look at you and say, what? What are you talking about? It's impossible. Fish doesn't have the brain for, you know, quantum, you know, physics. Okay? It can't just understand it. Okay? That's what exactly what God is. You have to experience it. It doesn't matter how much I explain it, God, to you. It doesn't make a bit of a difference to you. Because you have an experience in yourself. And the path to experiencing is the eternal divine. I am showing the way. Are you going to watch it? It's up to you. It's not up to you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to push you. I'm going to, you know, just what it is saying, I can show you the way. You are the person, you know, you are supposed to watch and see it. And that is the eternal divine path. Go ahead, my come.
To do with the spiritual cause. With the spiritual cause, the Holy Ghost, I went to the same thing. And also, when you make contact with the spiritual cause, or the Holy Ghost, whatever, is it a constant flow of the Spirit inside your body, or is it a detached? Right? Does it come once every 5 years, once every 10 years, once every 3 months, something like that? Okay? And if there is gaps in between, are you with the Holy Spirit right now, for instance? You know, that would answer the question. And if it is, can you tell us what the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, what it tastes like when it makes contact with the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, I forgot all the questions. There are too many of them there, but... Okay, the first one was with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is the same. Is that the question? Let's put the one question at a time. I'm going to call you Mike. The first question is if the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is the same, right?
Yeah, if the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are the same thing, and when you make contact with the Holy Spirit, is it inside you right now, or does it come to you when it needs to come to you, like once every 6 months, or once every year, or maybe just once in a lifetime? I don't know. You please tell me that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is the same thing, and that is the part that we accepted as the female part of the universe, or the mother, God, and the logical part or the consciousness is what is called Father, and the Father, therefore there is the Father, Mother, God, and then they manifest themselves through the body of the person they choose to bring the revelation of God, and that person becomes Son of God. Therefore, Father is logic, Mother is the Holy Ghost, and Prophet Muhammad is the Son of God. Of course, a lot of people say he was just a prophet, but he says in the Quran that listen to him, by the way, he said. Christ brings the Spirit of God or the logic of God to humanity, therefore he becomes the Son of God. He's not a physical Son of God that God made through Mary, but because the Holy Ghost comes through, he becomes the Son. He becomes in the image of God. Son is in the image of God. Therefore, Holy Ghost, you know, come as the revealer of the revelation of God to humanity, and it is the Spirit of God. It is the creative force in the universe. And again, with this explanation, we can see that we also explain the problem or the discussion that Muslim and Christian had for thousands of years, and that was Christ the Son, is Muhammad only a prophet, or was Christ a prophet, was not the Son of God. You can see these are constant, that again is explained here, and unified, and they don't have any, you know, anything to fight over. Okay, because God is logic and the creative force. The logic is Father, as in the Christian pray to the Father, they pray to the logic of God. And then they talk about the Mother or Holy Mother, they're trying to talk about the Holy Ghost. And whatever this symbolizes as a physical body, again, we create separation. They should realize the real meaning of the Holy Mother, the real meaning of the logic of God. So, and the Son, of course, is the chosen, the anointed one who come here and has the Holy Ghost with him, and he explains the logic of God and the revelation of God, which is the revelation of the prophets that come to us. So, any time I give satsang, any time I say the truth, any time I have to say the truth to someone, it is the Holy Ghost coming through, it's the Spirit of God, and then I sit here and in these 2 hours every week, that's the Spirit of God coming through and talking to you and revealing the truth that makes sense to a lot of people. Those whose cups are empty, those who the Spirit are ready, those who are prepared their garden or soil to receive the seeds, and this gives a lot of fruit. Those whose cup is full or their soils are not prepared, you know, even might hate it because it hits their ego and they say, no, I don't believe it, I can't believe it. You know, what he says makes sense, but I don't want to see it. So they even leave or it doesn't give any fruit. So we can see that the Holy Ghost is clarification. It comes from the Spirit of God. It brings the truth from the Akashic record. How does it feel? It feels good. it is clear like a bell. It is the moment that you see so clearly that you want to stay in that state forever. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I tell you, to be very honest with you, Michael, you give some incredible answers. You give some correct answers that not known to many people on earth, and but you're amazing. And there's still some things you say, Prophet Muhammad being the Son of God, which, you know, I don't sort of agree with because I'm a Muslim. But on the other hand, what is more important to me is the truth. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that you've come out with, which I know for a fact, I have half proof of you already, which is very good. And so I have great respect for you. And you might as well, don't you have this physical substance? You see, the questions I'm asking you is all the questions, all the answers that I know myself. Mm. And so you're clarifying, you're getting me through this, you know. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, does it have a physical substance? And can you put in the color of it, please?
Okay, first of all, if I say anything is truth in it, it's the Spirit of God. So all glory goes to God, and I'm just a plain vessel revealing this truth to you, and hopefully, as I said, those who are ready will receive it, will incorporate in their spirit, will understand it, will love it, and will give it to the rest of humanity, and then he may create the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you have half proof. I hope you find the rest of it, the whole proof of it. You know, some people claim that they have all the proof. Actually, I have to tell them not just wait a little bit longer. We get more proof about the whole thing, but they have already said no. They got all the proof they want, they need, and that's great. And I hope you find the rest of it also. There are experiences that people have. And the reason they have that experience is because they need that experience to believe in God. If people see angels, they see angels all over the place, and they believe the angels exist. People go to the ethereal level and they do astral projection, and they see beings that they teach them, you know, about great things, that they come and say, well, that is the greatest thing ever happened to them. Some people see color. Of course, in meditation and in African university courses, our chapters have different colors, and if you know, you can look at them and tell you exactly which colors they each have, and they feel the physical presence and touch of another being, being see another being, standing by other people, or Prophet Muhammad sees Gabriel as a person, or Daniel sees a lot of in many of his revelations and think that he brings to us, he sees an angel come to him. Prophet Muhammad is an angel. But in the final analysis, anything has taste, color, touch, manifestation is not the ultimate. The ultimate is the consciousness and the three gunas, which has no physical manifestation at all. It is the spirit of God, and anything that we become attached to that is not that essence, we are still are not at the final stage. So we have to recognize God is a spirit, and as Christ said, we have to worship the spirit in our spirit, and the spirit is not, have no manifestation at all. Go ahead, spirit in the wind.
Hello again. I want to be frank with you, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but I have a question about, I know it's on the webpage, I've actually just read it one time, but I noticed that there's a lot of commercialism, especially selling books and lecture business and stuff such as this, and I'm wondering, I know that people are just calling you the price return or whatever, I'm not sure exactly, but I don't remember Jesus ever selling pamphlets or selling books and making a profit with the selling things, and that kind of, questions me, because, of course, I do look for the return of Christ, and I don't believe it's going to be in a human form. I do think that your messages are once and clear, and that you are blessed with the Spirit. But as far as Christ, I don't see it yet. So that's my main question, is the commercial, and where does this money go, and how do you make a living, how much money do you make? I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have to buy them, okay? You didn't... force you to come and buy whatever is in there. Whatever is there is a revelation and it is free. And when you pay for the ink, for the autographic and the telephone, light, phone, computer, connection, you need finances, alright? And that is what created this internet, so we can reach out for this message. And as I said, don't be fault finder. Be truth finder. Okay? Anybody can find fault with anybody else. It's so easy. So easy to do that. Okay? And the things you sell, most of them are you're selling even either under price or with or below price. And even we give it away to some people, even we promise you to send you a book without you paying anything for it. So that's amazing that you are the person complaining about it as the person that is going to be receiving something free. So it is just amazing. It's like you are trying to get back at me because you're angry instead of, seeing the truth. And instead of saying thank you, sending me a book free, trying to find fault. So Christ was correct. It is being received free, it is being given free. There is no charge whatsoever. Go to our website and download everything we have with not one penny. Only you have to pay for the connection, of course. We can pay for that for you. So the rest is free. You can have everything in the the revelation and the thing is free, but then we put it in a paper. When we pay for the ink and all that, at least we have to have enough resources to do it again over and over and over. Where did my income come from? If the government wants to know, look at it, it's welcome to come and look at it. You know? But I have not taken one penny out of the whole mission for the last 23 years that I've been at it. So those people who know me, they can judge me, but cannot judge me, you know, because, you know, you don't know anything about us. And don't worry, they're not going to get rich by setting those things in the website, for sure. Go ahead, Matt, come.
Okay, thank you. Just to put the record straight, spiritually, I believe that Jesus is here on earth, and I think that Maitreya will agree with me when I say that, you know, I also at the moment have not got the expectations that I would want, you know, I would want to see from Jesus. But it must be worth remembering that there is a right time for everything. And that, you know, Jesus on earth at the moment would be, I would see it as a very ordinary person. Even in the times of Jesus, there were a lot of times when he was a very ordinary person too. He wasn't always creating miracles. And there is a right time for them, so that Jesus will come out eventually. I think my trouble is probably agree with me on that one. And also, Maitreya, the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, which actually connects to the spirit in the wind is today. The Holy Ghost, the spirit of God, inside us. Am I right in saying that there's different quantities? I mean, you can have 10% or 20% or 50%, or if it's ordered to bring somebody from the dead back to life, 100%, different quantities of the Holy Spirit. Am I correct in saying that, you know, it's not like people would see it as just one straight line, but rather the more quantity you receive of the Holy Spirit, the more powerful you become. Is that correct?
Yes, that is a correct assumption and correct saying, but God never gave his 100% spirit to anyone until this point, until this mission that revealed the whole truth to humanity. So yes, some people have some experiences, but it is not completely 100%. And even prophets who brought the revelation, as we explained, they only had a part of the truth, a part of the Holy Ghost, a part of the eternal tablet, a thousand Akashic record. So the whole truth is not going to come unless God reveals the whole truth through the seventh angel. And then those who have the Spirit of God with them see the whole truth. And because they don't have the whole Spirit in them, they have their own ideas, okay? And then when they come to you and they hear my teaching and they love it, they say that there's a lot of truth in it, but still they have their own ideas and they do not want to accept the whole thing. And then they don't want to accept the whole thing, then they have to connect and we have to talk and go back and forth, and eventually they say, okay, what you say makes sense, okay? And therefore, the degree of how much God reveals you, everybody has some experience, everybody has some revelation, everybody has, even the people who come to the mission see the truth in this teaching, they are revealed to them by the Holy Ghost, you know. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is in them that they even can see the truth in it. If they didn't have the Holy Ghost, as we see some people here, come here, you know, argue and find faults and they're not completely see anything I say goes right over their head, and they say, oh yes, you say what makes sense, but why you are like this, why you sit, why you talk, why you eat, why, you know, all those, you know, false finding that comes in because the flesh is stronger than the Holy Ghost. So you are absolutely right. There is different level of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus being on the earth. Well, I don't know about Jesus, but I know Esau is on the earth, you know, because we don't believe that they will say in Hebrew, and his name never was Jesus, but his name is Esau, and it's the same spirit as coming to this mission, and it is with us, and it's been with us for the last 20 some years. Go ahead, one and only.
Why do I have to agree to that?
Okay, why Muhammad says that Jesus is not the Son of God, it's been explained many times in the mission that Prophet Muhammad, when he says he's not the Son of God, he's referring, he didn't make a child with Mary. He's not a physical Son of God. Christian and those who believe he is the Son of God, believe he is really objecting to the people who believe he really physically is the Son of God. He made it with Mary. But if Prophet Muhammad come here and I give my explanation to him, he will say, yes, that's okay. It makes sense to me. Okay? Because God is Father, God is the logic in the universe, and it has another counterpart called the creative force. So, this is the Holy Ghost. Even Prophet Muhammad believed in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So the Holy Ghost is the female part of God that some people even invest in New Age and talk about that God is Mother God, or is it Goddess. So it's not only male. So it's God Father and God Mother. And then he prophesies that Christ will come. That's what his prophet will come. When he comes, the Spirit of God comes through that prophet. He becomes the anointed one. Christ. That is when he is called the Son of God. You can see the Son of God even in the Old Testament. There were sons of God who came to the daughter of man. And at the end of the Revelation, whoever overcometh become my son. They are all the sons of God. But they are not created by God. It's not a physical thing. It's not that they really actually God, you know, made them through a woman. And that is what the Prophet Muhammad is objecting and telling, no, Christ was not the Son of God. But Prophet, according to our teaching and our explanation, even Prophet Muhammad was the Son of God. Okay. Because he brought the Spirit of God to him. But he wasn't physically, God didn't go physically make Prophet Muhammad through her mother. No, he had a father. Okay. And also if we say Prophet Muhammad, I mean, if Christ was the Son of Man, of God, then he wasn't from the genealogy of King David. And being from the children of the King David was one of the requirements for the Messiah. Because Judah said, okay, Shiloh is going to come from the children of King David, and then the Shiloh will come, okay, he will gather this, you know, all that. In chapter 49:10 in Genesis. So we can see that God is considering those who reach spiritual consciousness and those who bring his revelation to earth as his sons. And Prophet Muhammad was not objecting to this explanation. He was objecting as a physical Son of God. And he is correct in that. There is no one physically, everybody is, you know, from God. God created everybody. So in that sense, everybody is the son and daughter of God. But in the sense of only he come and to marry and make a son, that is incorrect. And the explanation we make do answers that question. And again, this unifies Christendom and Muslim in that aspect. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, two questions. The first one, when one meditates and when one hears music, should one stop and dance with the music?
Okay. Yes, in the meditation you will receive a lot of experiences, and in the very beginning you will probably hear the cricket in the like being in a field and hearing the in a very hot day in the summer, you can hear a lot of insects chirping and cricket kind of sound. you know, later on you hear other sounds, or sometimes you hear the banging of the door, and later on you even hear a flute or music, you know, and that is where the flute of Krishna comes from, and it is so beautiful that you might just get so absorbed to it, just for little one meditating, and all that. If you feel like you're dancing with it, great, go ahead, dance with it, there's no problem with that, but do it with the spirit of music you will hear with him. The music, external music, is a manifestation of that internal music, which internal music is much more beautiful. Actually, when you have the internal music, the external music doesn't, you know, appeal to you as much anymore. You know, you may listen to them once in a while, but they are not as beautiful as the internal music. Go ahead, Lou, ask your next question.
Yes, the reason why I asked is because somebody in meditation was mentioning the name of Lakshmi, and the individual was dancing with his hands, you know, and whatnot. And the second one is, when you experience God in meditation, does he reveal a name to you?
Okay, the true God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, but he used an energy to create the universe, and that energy is the world. And that is why in the beginning was the world, and the world was with God, and the world was God. That energy has a sound that a lot of people try to imitate it in the external world. But that sound cannot be altered, cannot be used and, you know, said what it is. But there are a lot of words that affect different chakras and awaken them, but they are not the highest vibration exists. That is why a lot of gurus, a lot of people, even the name Allah is a mantra. It's a Allah, Elohim, La, Laho, Hallelujah. Okay, all of them are mantras that affect different chakras. You know, for example, people in church say Hallelujah, they feel a kind of joy when they say. Why? Because it affects that part of the chakra that has the joy, that part of the brain. Or the ethereal body. So, in a highest level, God has no name, no form. He is nameless, formless, invisible, and eternal. But in the external world, there is a vibration that everything has been created from. Vibration, which is the word, which is sometimes people call it logo, and that word was in the beginning, and in the beginning was God, and the beginning, and all that. And the word becomes flesh. Actually, as I said, God comes to earth as an anointed, as the chosen person, as the prophet, as Christ. He comes to reveal his teachings up, and he is really the word that has been created as flesh, so he can receive the Holy Ghost in the highest way possible and reveal to humanity. That word is not been revealed to humanity for the last 2,000 years. And now we are revealing to the elect, to people who are in the mission, dedicated to the mission, and are a part of the mission, and are elect, and will dedicate their life to establish this mission, will be initiated. And that initiation reveals this word, which really is within you. You cannot alter. You cannot give it from one person to another. I only can give it to you, and only those who I authorize can give it to other people. But you, when you hear it, you know, oh, it's already in there. I know it, it's been already there, but I never pay any attention to it. It is within you, but you cannot offer it. So, that is, if you want to call that the name of God, that is the holy, the highest name of God. Even they asked Prophet Muhammad how many names God has. And he said, there are 3,000 names for God. Human knows 2,999 of them. Okay, so there's one that's the sacred name and holy name. If we are talking about that, that that exists, and there are a lot of other names and vibration can affect human chakras, but really he is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Okay, there is a question, it says, does evil exist? Evil, or devil, is the lack of God. Evil exists and God does not. Since God is everything, and he exists everywhere, devil is the illusion of separation from God. Okay? When you are separated from God, you fall into Maya, you fall into the external world and disaffection, and that is what evil is and gets you the temptation. The tempter. What is the tempter? Tempter is the external world. Tempter is the ego that gets attached to the external world. So, devil or evil is really, you are both. You can be in the image of God, or you can become evil yourself. So devil and God both exist in you. But really, the evil is an illusion of separation from God. Go ahead, the one and the only. Okay, the question is, did Isa, Christ, had a wife? Well, there are some speculation that he actually had two wives. He